I have chosen to use Paul's words in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 33, but focusing mostly on verse 36. So if you'll turn to that with me, and these are words that I've chosen for the basis of our reflection together. Paul says in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God!" Exclamation mark. "How unsearchable his judgment and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them?" And then verse 36. "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So, as I said, here we are in the last day of this year. 2017 is about, in a few short years, to become history. And for some of you, it was a very good year. You started school, you made good friends, you got good grades on your report cards, you got married, or you bought your first home, or you got a promotion at work, or you remained in good health this year, or maybe this was a year where you realized some gains in your retirement portfolio. For others of you, though, it is quite possible that this was a mixed year. Many things to be thankful for sure. But there were some difficulties in this year and some disappointments in this year. For some of you, even some loss in this year. Significant loss. Maybe you look back on the final day of the year with some regrets, because there were some missed opportunities. There were some things that you would, if you could, do over again. One of the things I do know, and you know it as well, you can't go back and relive this year. We can't go back and relive even a day. Yesterday's will never be today's again. There are no do-overs. And what's to come in the year that lies ahead of us? Some of you may be graduating and will leave for college, or graduating from college and leave for a job. Where is that going to take you? Maybe this will be a year when a child enters your family, or you move into a different home. Maybe 2018 will be a year when you make your profession of faith, or when you experience significant spiritual growth. And the reason I say that is because I know that some of you, 2017 was quite a year for you spiritually. And you've shared that with me. And in fact, a couple of you have shared that with the entire congregation. Maybe 2018 will be that kind of a year for others of you. It's just quite possible that when you look ahead to the next 365 days, you may do so with a little apprehension. You wonder, well, what is to come? I wonder what lies ahead. Why? Because with all the hopes and with all the possibilities of a new year and new beginnings, there are also uncertainties, right? What's going to happen in the new year? What's going to happen with our increasingly maddening political scene in America? How many more people are going to be killed in mass shootings in America? Will there be a terrorist attack on our soil? And what about North Korea and its nuclear arms program? How far is that really going to go? And what about you personally? What lies ahead for you and the people that you care about? Because we all know that life can turn on a dime. Life can sometimes throw us a curveball. There are some of you who experienced this in the past year. Life is often filled with challenges and difficulties, illness and death and broken relationships and financial losses and struggles of various kinds, foolish choices, difficulties at school. You know, whatever it is that you might face, who knows? Who knows what's coming our way? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But here's my question for you. And this is the question that I want you to join me in thinking about for the next 15 minutes or so. When you look back at this past year with all of its joys, because there were many things to really be grateful for, there were many things to celebrate this past year. Also, I trust in your life. So when you look back at the past year with all of its joys and all of the things that you have to be grateful for and all of its sorrows, because life often is very mixed, and then when you move ahead to the coming year with all of the hopeful possibilities as well as the difficulties that may come your way, where do you turn for strength and encouragement and hope? People obviously look in different ways for strength or encouragement or hope, or sometimes just to cope. I mean, some people look to themselves. They're the strong, self-sufficient types, and they just tell themselves that they'll just roll with it. Whatever comes along, they'll just go with the flow. Some rely on the security of a good job and they just hope for the best. Others look for support from parents or support from your kids or friends. Still others deal with the challenges of life by trying to squeeze as much pleasure and excitement out of it as you possibly can while you still can. I've been thinking about this. If I have to go through life on my own, I'm not sure that I have all that much confidence, because there are a lot of things in life that are beyond my control. And I think you realize that too. There are a lot of things in your life which you have control over, but then so much which you have no control over. If all I have are other people to rely on, that kind of helps. But as I said in my prayer, that kind of help has its limitations. A job with a good income is tenuous security at best. I need something, and I'm hoping you would see the wisdom of this statement too. We need something that we can depend on with absolute confidence, something that is larger than anything that might come our way, larger than any problem, larger than any set of circumstances, larger than any difficulty and adversity that can come, oftentimes without any warning. Are you with me on this? Does this resonate with you? There aren't any sure things in life except for this. There is a God. He created you. He gave His Son, sent Him to the cross for you, and He loves you. And you can depend on Him. That's the essence of the gospel. There is a God. He created you. He sent His Son to the cross for you. He loves you. And you can absolutely depend on Him. The Old Testament repeatedly talks about God being our rock, God being our deliverer, God being our fortress, God being our strength, God being our salvation, particularly in Psalms, We're invited again and again, if you just page through the Psalms, to place our trust in God, who is much bigger than any obstacle, any loss, any grief, any struggle, any challenge that we face in life. Paul puts it this way, "For from him and through him and for him are all things." It is a powerful statement. It is a powerful statement that if we would just come to believe it and accept it as truth, if we understand it and believe it, it can make a difference in how we see life, in what we do with our life in the coming year. Paul begins by saying, "For from him." What I hear Paul saying when I read this, "for from him," is that God is the source of everything that we have in life. So kids, in your excitement, I mean, you just opened presents a few days ago, right? And maybe it was not on one day, but maybe it was like one or two or 3 days as you had different Christmas gatherings. And it's kind of exciting, and you get a present, and the first thing you do is to tear off that wrapping. You have your mom and dad ever say to you, "Hey, slow down. Now, who's this present from?" And then you had to set the box down and look at the torn and crumpled and ripped wrapping and find the tag, and there it says, "To you," with your name on it, and then "from." Who's the source of this gift? Oh, from your grandma and grandpa. Or from mom and dad. Or from your brother or sister. You see, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's reminding us of the from. He's reminding us that God is the source of everything that we need in all of the circumstances of life. Now, think about this. When Paul was writing these words here, he was in prison. He had been beaten. He had been stoned, actually. He had been shipwrecked, and he had been in prison. And yet Paul continued to trust God because he knew that God was with him in every moment. Remember, Paul was the one in Romans chapter 8 that wrote, and then we acknowledge that in our prayer this morning, that nothing can separate us from his love, come what may. And then Paul lists all these things that could possibly happen, terrible things that could possibly happen. And he says, what? Still, God loves me. Nothing can separate me from his love through Christ Jesus. Paul could review his life as he sat there in prison, his education as a Jewish rabbi from the best of the teachers. He could think back to his blinding conversation. He could recall his ministry and the lives that he touched and the churches that he planted. He could remember the whippings and the imprisonments and all the adversity that he endured, as he did, and then write in Philippians chapter 4, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." And then he says, this is not just about me. He says, "And my God will meet all of your needs too." Now that's my insertion. "Or also," again, my insertion, "according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." From God comes the strength to face life, whatever comes our way in life. From God comes all of his gracious gifts. How can you be sure of that? Well, you look back over the past year. Did any of you have food on your table? Or maybe I should say, did any of you lack for food on your table? Either way, it came from him. Any of you lack for heat in your home? It comes from him. Any of you lack for clothes to wear, or a car to drive, or a school to attend, or an income, or a family to support you, or friends to lean on, or a church to worship in and sink down your roots? And if you lack for the assurance of eternal life, all these good things come from God. He's the source of everything that we need. Now, maybe you've been discouraged this year. Maybe you've struggled this year. Maybe you've struggled with guilt or wrestled with grief. But God is there to provide his care. He's there to provide his comforting presence, and he is there to provide his healing presence if you let him. I mean, if we look at our own personal histories, just as Paul was looking over his as he sat there in prison, one thing becomes clear, and that is God is the giver of all good things. He is our source. And then Paul continues and he says, for from him and through him. And here Paul's addressing God as the one who leads us through life, the one who guides us in our living. When I think of the word guide, I think of a map. You know, the kind of digital maps that we have on our GPS or on our phone, or even a paper map that you might have in your glove compartment. Maps guide us through unfamiliar territory when we're on trips, right? Well, we all know that. Maps tell us where the animals are when we get to the zoo, right? Or when you go to a science museum, they'll tell you where certain exhibits are. Just last week, moms and dads were helping their kids put together their gifts by using a guide sheet. Among the gifts that Sandra and I received was an 1,100-piece Lego set, a Mini Cooper. It's very cool. 1,100 pieces. And for sure, Sandra and I, well, certainly I will need to have instructions, right? So, kids, when you play with your Legos, unless you decide not to make the what's on the front of the box and just do your own thing, you can do that sometimes. But if you want to make something very cool, like a Mini Cooper or, you know, a Star Wars, whatever, you follow directions, right? Maps guide us. God guides us in so many different ways, too. He leads us. He directs us. You think about how he directed people in the scripture. In the book of Exodus, he led his people out of Egypt into the promised land. How? Right? Yeah, the cloud and the pillar of fire, right? In the Old Testament, he led his people through prophets and through priests and through judges and through kings. He guided wise men from the east, way up in Persia, down to Palestine, down to Bethlehem. How did he do that? With a star, right? How does God guide us today? Well, one of the ways in which he guides us is through his word, right? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, Apostle Paul says that God's word instructs us, it corrects us, it guides us, it redirects us. And God guides us not only through his word, and good thing too, because where would we be without God's word? Where would we be? But he also guides us through his spirit. And again, say, where would we be without his spirit? You know, and his promptings in our ears and in our hearts and in our minds. revealing the things of God to us, guiding us as He helps us remember and recall what God has written in His Word. It's the Spirit who gives us strength to face another uncertain, tenuous day. It is the Spirit who helps us navigate through the challenges of life. Scripture tells us we're not alone. How do we know we're not alone? Because God's Spirit is within us, leading us, guiding us, directing us. If we'll listen, if we'll be in tune with His leading and His guiding. And we don't always sense His guidance, do we? In fact, when we face life's problems and confrontations, we sometimes wonder where in the world God really is. And we wonder if He's just passed us by because He's indifferent to us. And yet, as we live through the difficult circumstances and as we begin to grow and mature and understand what is taking place in those circumstances, which is different than the why of those circumstances, right? Sometimes we'll never know why. But if we understand and try to unpack what those circumstances are, we begin to realize that God is yet in control, that He doesn't ignore us. He doesn't pass us by. He doesn't turn His back on us, and that He's been guiding us unawares. And sometimes we can look back and we can see the hand of God directly. And His ability to even take something that is not good at all and yet somehow use it to produce some measure of good in our lives or in the lives of others or for His broader plans and purposes. So Esther Glashauer and I had a conversation about that this week again. Why is this happening to me? Well, we don't know. But maybe God can still use that and still use her testimony to impact the lives of others. So I want to return to my question. What about you? You know, how are you going to make it in 2018? What is going to be your guide? And not just in the big decisions that may confront you, but in the everyday business of life. What or who will be your guide? Well, Paul doesn't stop here. He goes on to say, "For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things." What about those words, "for Him"? Well, let me ask you, what goals do you have in life? What's your goal in life? Or goals, plural. To get a job, and a job that gives you a sense of fulfillment and a sense of accomplishment, like you're really making a difference. To get married, to start a family, to have a nice house, to have a nice vacation, to maintain a balance between work and pleasure or work and family, or to make the best and enjoy your retirement years as best as you are able. What are you trying to get out of life? Pure happiness and pleasure? Is your family the number one goal in your life? And you just... Is the number one goal in your life to be comfortable? What's your goal in life? Paul says, for Him are all things. In other words, knowing God and loving God and serving God is what is most important in life. And among all the things that we consider important in life, there is nothing more important than pursuing a richer, deeper relationship with God and serving Him. Why? Because God is the end of all things. For Him are all things. So what is most important in your life? Well, what are your priorities? What are your values? How do you spend your time? What do you do with your checkbook? What do your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations tell you about what matters most to you? So here we are in the last day of 2017. Tomorrow is the first day of 2018. Let's step over the threshold, you and I, and commit ourselves to making God first in our life, knowing Him, loving Him, and serving Him. Let's commit ourselves to reading Scripture and being in His Word so that He can guide us every day of the next year. Let's commit ourselves to being in His Word and hearing His voice so that He can lead us and guide us. Let's devote ourselves to prayer and to open our hearts to God so that He can fashion us into the kind of people that He wants us to be so that we can experience and know the joy and the peace and the comfort and the satisfaction and that comes to people who center their lives on the most important thing in life, the one who is the end of all things, so that we can honor Him with our lives, so that we can give Him glory, because that's how Paul ends here. To Him be the glory forever. Or not. Or we can simply step over into the next year without any intentionality and just continue. Here's what Paul is saying. God is our source. He gives us all we need. He is our guide. He guides us and helps us navigate come what may. He is the ultimate goal in life. Knowing Him, loving Him, serving Him is what is most important in life. I want to encourage you to take this verse here and to tuck it away in the back of your mind. Or maybe I shouldn't phrase it that way. I want to encourage you to take this verse here and commit it to memory and to keep it in the forefront of your mind. That's a better way of saying this, because I think that you and I are going to need it in this coming year. We're going to need it, and it's going to help us maintain perspective. For from Him, through Him, and to Him, or for Him, in the new NIV translation, are all things.